Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I was talking to somebody, one of our partners the other day, and they said they love the meetings, but that they miss the presence of being in a meeting in person. And so I thought we would try to do a little prophetic soaking. And of course, I have no idea how this will flow. But if you're in a position to get comfortable and rest in the Lord and relax, maybe close your eyes and just hang out with God. You know, soaking, here's something we should know about soaking or wooing the presence. Sometimes when I'm with beginners, you know, they'll come into a meeting with food and drinks and popcorn, and they're talking and they're distracted. And that's not wrong, it's not sin, but you won't get as much if you're just set apart for those moments, you know, set apart unto the Lord. And so get a comfy chair, close your eyes, and just enjoy His presence. And I don't know what form this will take, because when we do this, we yield, or we do our very best to yield to the Holy Spirit and just do what He do and say and play whatever He wants. So that's going to be my attempt. So also the other thing you can do to receive more is begin to ask the Lord the questions of your heart, because that places a draw on the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, so ask Him, seek Him for those things that He would say to you. And you can be specific, ask Him what He's saying to you about certain things, okay? So I'm just going to kind of play a little. We're going to swim around on the keyboard a little. The Lord saying, let the water of the Spirit wash through your soul, wash away any just distractions, any thoughts of the day. You know, the river of God, it's like a cleansing, purifying water. Through us, cleanse us, and just wash away any thought, any worry, any distraction, any cares of the world, little stuff, big stuff, just wash it away. Feeling the nativity. Come out for a time and hang out in the world and deal with stuff that has to be dealt with, but we need to recharge. Just like your cell phone, it can only go so long and then it starts to poop out. Says, recharge your soul in me. Come apart and just, you know, even when we're not together like this, let there be times where you just go in your room and lay down just for a few minutes. You can put on soft music or put on some sweet recorded scriptures or just lay in the quiet and the still and let God minister to you. Let Him sing over you. You know, the Bible says that He sings over you. I saw a picture of someone and your nerves have been frayed. This is just for one person, okay? And I saw like a nerve ending and it looked like a frayed electrical cord that had been frayed at the end. And the Lord said, would you bring that to me and let me repair it? I can repair all things, all situations, all relationships, all hopes and dreams, all businesses. I'm saying, let me repair it. Stop trying to fix it. You can't. I'm the one that created nerves and situations. I'm the one that created you. And I can heal you in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he's saying. Just let me have access to you. And as long as you're worrying and struggling, you're in the flesh and you can't enjoy his presence. You know, if you're in the flesh, it's hard to enter the spirit. If you're worrying and anxious, beloved. He's saying, my beloved. My little child, my little one. I don't expect you to do life by yourself. I didn't create you to do this alone. You need me. So don't stay away. Did you know that you can drink the water of heaven? And Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water, they'll never thirst again. Come and drink. He's talking about that Holy Ghost. Is saying, come unto me, you know, like little children. Some of you don't remember what it was like to be little. You know, when you're little, you can just come running up and crawl up in the Father's lap. You know, you don't have to worry about getting it all right. You just come to the Father because he loves you. And when you're little, it should be. And I know some people didn't get to have this experience, but you can have it now with your real Father, your Heavenly Father. You can enjoy the encounter of running up and just crawling up in his lap without worrying about your eyes aren't on you. Did I do good enough? No. And you do it because he loves you. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Some of you will taste the living water for your very first time tonight. There's someone who's on watching this. Maybe, I don't know if you're watching it live or watching it later. But there's someone that I'm talking to that you love Jesus and you want more of him, but you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, in the book of Acts, they waited upon that infilling. They waited in the upper room because Jesus told them to. You know, they waited. Jesus told him to tarry in Jerusalem until he received power from on high. Amen. And that power from on high is gonna fill someone for the first time. All you have to do is ask. Thank you. Spirit, the Bible says. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. I see a wind just hitting somebody. Someone here that you're watching and your mom is sick and you've been really, really, really worried, almost, I would almost say, in a frenzied state, and you've been really scared about your mom. You love your mom, and I saw the Lord's hand come upon her. I don't know where she is. I sense she is not with you. You're not staying with her, and I saw the hand of the Lord come down just like on her body. And I heard him say, "She's okay, she'll be okay." That scripture, if God be for you, who can be against you? It's not good to be afraid of the enemy. You know, he's nothing but a little, you know, created being. He cannot compare to God. He just wants to, but he can't. He has no real power and authority. Jesus wins. Jesus won it all over the enemy. Jesus outpowered him, outmaneuvered him, outsmarted him, and made a show of him openly. So all we have to do is stay close to God, stay close to his word, stay close to the promises, walk in him. Feels like limbo, right? We're just in a wait state, and you know, it's hard to plan anything, right? And I saw a picture of someone, and you had some plans to go to, I think, to a school, but it felt like art school or something in the arts, and you had it all planned, and even some of it was paid for, maybe even all of it was paid for, and you're ready to go, and then they said stop, wait. And it's been frustrating to you because you feel like you're gonna the sense is that you might lose your I don't know if it's a scholarship, or you might lose what you paid. And the Lord said that He's going to make a way for you. Don't worry about this. Don't carry a burden about this. And he said it's part of his plan. And don't you know that he has a plan? Give a strange word. I don't want anyone to misunderstand this. I see someone going through like a death process. This is not, do not take this as physical death. It's not. Okay, I'm going to repeat it. This is not a physical death. But there's something in the kingdom called a death process. And Jesus actually went through it. He said, unless a seed fall on the ground and die, abides alone. And he was talking about himself. He was talking, in fact, about the way seeds work. See, a seed goes into the ground and it loses its life, but it's to make way for something new. And so Jesus, he gave his life might be the firstborn of many brethren. And sometimes he'll have some of us trade in or lose or die to our old dreams and hopes. In order that we might birth in the soil of our heart, in the soil of our life, something that is new. That's something that is his alone. And I know I'm talking to several people, and if you don't understand this word, that means it's probably not for you, and it's okay, okay? I have to give them, even if it's for one person, okay? And what the Lord is saying is that some of you are in kind of a tough time right now, and you're watching maybe some dreams die, things you thought would happen, and you're wondering if it can ever happen now. And it may or may not be related to what's going on in the world. I went through it myself years and years ago. One of the first visions I ever had was a vision of a woman who died in childbirth. The woman died, but the baby lived. And I was afraid because I didn't understand the meaning. And I knew that I was the woman. I knew that Holly had to die. But over the years, it became like what I'll call a life vision. And what it meant was that there is a time when we are called to die to ourselves in order that something of God may live. It's a much higher calling. It's a better calling. You know, you can live for you and maybe accomplish some things for God in the process. But Jesus said, if any man would follow me, I mean follow me as a disciple, a real one, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Well, a cross is to die on, isn't it? That's a scary scripture. And he said it loving us, but what he was saying was, like Paul said in Philippians, take a look at Philippians around chapter 3, verse around 10 and 11, and he talks about that I may know Christ in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to the image of his death. Wow. Right? That I may know the power of his resurrection. See, we oftentimes want to see resurrection power in our dreams. Well, sometimes we have to die the way we thought it would be or how we thought it would be. And so, God asks us, he never makes us, but he asks us sometimes to die to our dreams that his might live. And his are so much better. it's almost like you're going through a death of a dream. It may be a company. It may be a business. It may be a calling. It may be a ministry. And the way that you thought it would go isn't how it has gone. But what's happening isn't the finish of the thing, but it is the death of an old dream. It is, sometimes we have visions about the way we think. We think it's going to be a certain way. But I want to say this. When we die to our idea of it, or how we thought it would be, then we get to see the glory of God. Not right away. It takes time for a seed to sprout in the ground. Takes time. I just planted some lettuce some weeks ago, and you know, you wait. Find this little tiny, teeny tiny little thing comes up, and you wonder, is that thing gonna make it? And you water it tenderly for weeks and weeks. Finally, it's starting to look like a plant, not lettuce, but a plant. See, it takes time when you're in the process. I'm talking to someone, and if you don't understand, that's okay. Just enjoy the presence. But you've died to some hopes and dreams. And I'm seeing this, my friend. It has felt like your identity is going with it, because you associated. Sometimes we can associate our victory or our identity with a success, right? We can say, well, if that were successful, then I'm a success. No, not in God. You're a success whether that thing flies or not. Your victory in God, who you are, your identity in God is unrelated to those things you accomplish in the earth. And God wants us to know that. He wants you to know that. And sometimes God will actually remove a thing. He did from me. So I would understand that when God brought his thing forth, it was completely and wholly his. But I could never take credit for it. I could never say I did anything right, because I was dead when it happened. I could never act like it was, oh, because I did something. See, some of you are called to some amazing things. When you're called to something heavenly, earthly means can never attain it. Earthly means won't do it. It has to be done the heavenly way, the perfect way, or you'll end up with just another ministry that's of man. We don't need any more of those, do we? Too many times we've seen a person raise up their own thing. Try to do it in the flesh and finish it in the flesh, and it's been a wreck, right? And sometimes it's brought reproach and shame on the name of the Lord, hasn't it? We've seen it. You'll see the fall of a lot of those things in this day. We don't desire that. But in this day, no flesh will stand. God is raising some things up, but he'll do it out of the soil of a heart that hasn't taken the credit. See, the soil of our hearts needs to be perfected, doesn't it? The soil of our hearts, it's being enriched with minerals and with holy, heavenly, Holy Ghost water, right? Let the soil of our hearts be plowed up by the Word of God, be enriched, so that when God goes to plant something, God's planting seeds tonight in the soil of hearts. Rich, rich soil. Beautiful, lovely, holy. That He has enriched and nourished sometimes for years. Some of you have been in the enrichment process for years. You know, years ago I had a little garden. And I went out and we built up. It was 4 inches. We built it up with a wood frame. I didn't know a lot about gardening. My grandparents had a huge garden, but I looked it up and I worked on the soil way before I planted the seeds. I enriched it with everything that it said to, I mean, you name it. If it said to enrich it, I would go buy the stuff and enrich that soil, and I would work that soil so that the soil was so rich that when you planted the seeds, they just thrived. They didn't just grow. It was like Munster garden, you know, it was amazing, and all my neighbors came to look because it was just an amazing garden. It was amazing. But what God's saying is your soil condition it can be changed. You know, Jesus talked about the parable of the sower. Some soil, it was too shallow, some was too rocky, some it was too weedy. But you know that we can actually work on our soil in our heart. Did you know that? You're not just stuck with the soil you got. Did you know that? You can water it, you can put minerals in it. Your heart. Spend some time. Spend some time enriching the soil of your heart. Put the Word in. Plow it up. Dig in there. Get one of those things, you know. Put the Word in. And don't just stick it in there. Don't just read it and get, oh, amen, and shut your Bible. Think about it. Ponder it. Imagine it. Visualize it. Speak it. Speak it. Speak it. Lay in bed. Listen to the scriptures when you lay in bed. Stick a little earbud in there if you need to. You want to get it so that the Word of God is inside your spirit, man. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now hear him saying, I'm building you up. I'm edifying you. Even in the spirit, when you don't even know what's happening, when you sit in my presence. He's saying, don't you know? You're part of me. just my child, but actually you're part of me.
You're part of me. Same DNA. You're mine.
You're mine, he's saying. You cannot fail if you stay in me because you are mine. I see the words of knowledge I get, I see in pictures. And I saw you sitting with him, but you formed as part of him. You know, the Bible says he who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Isn't that amazing? I love it. And so when you're in him and when you remain in him, you can't fail. The only way we can fail is if we were to try to do stuff outside of him. Then we can fail, because we'll botch it up. I've pretty much proved that. But if we remain in him, if we stay in him, if we abide, it says abide in him, then we are part of him doing what he is doing. And God never fails. Reinhard Bonnke once said it. He said, I knew that if I had a plan, man's plan could fail. But he said, I knew if I could reach up through the plans of man and hook into the plan of God, his plan cannot fail. Stay in him. So we need to practice the presence, don't we? We need to get very good at just hanging out with him. You know why that's hard for some people? Because when they try it, Satan says, you're wasting time. You should be busy. You should be doing something. Well, I am doing something. Sometimes I just lay down with the Lord and just hang out with him. Just, you know, 20, 30, 40, hopefully more. And I'm an accomplisher. I like to accomplish things. And so sometimes Satan comes, oh, you should be busy working. You should be getting that done. Oh, there's people waiting on you. Usually it doesn't work, but he tries. But victory is when we realize that the real priority is that every moment you spend in the presence, really in him, it's worth a million moments not in him, you know, because you accomplish that much more, because you allow God to then funnel his grace through you into the earth realm. Stop for just a minute, because I feel like God wants to say something and I'm not quite good enough to do it while playing. I'm learning, but maybe the day will come, but I need to just, so stay in the presence. The presence doesn't stop just because the music stopped, okay? Music is just a way of allowing us to rest a little bit. The Father wants to teach us something, and I sensed, you know, as I saw that picture, I saw us actually like a person sitting, almost like if you would sit near the Father or close to Father, but you sort of melded into him. I could still see the person like a child. I could make out their person, but I could see they were in him. It was really lovely. But what I felt the Lord was saying is this. When you come into that place of the presence, when you learn to live in that place, and it will take some practice, because you have to practice overcoming your flesh, which your flesh will be screaming at you. Oh, you need to go do this or that. You need to be doing something. You need to, and it'll think of, 50 other things, and none of which are true. But as you master, you'll get better and better at it. And it takes time. Honestly, you'll get better and better, and you'll probably continue to get better for the rest of your life. We grow in it forever, right? We grow in that grace. But what I've discovered is that God can do through us into the earth, because we are his gateway into the earth realm. Did you know that? You and me, little humans, but we are the gateway of God to accomplish his will on the earth. God has chosen, for whatever reason, if I were God, I might not have chosen this, but God has chosen that he will do things in the earth through humans. That's why he's always looking for a human to speak through, or to play an instrument through, or who will go back in their room and shut the door and spend time with the Father, because he's looking for someone that he can use as a gateway, because there's things he wants done in the earth. And if you don't know the scriptures well, you might think, well, God is sovereign. He can do anything he wants on the earth. Well, he's sovereign, and in his sovereignty, he chose to limit himself. He chose to give the earth to humanity. He gave the earth to Adam. He did. And Jesus, Adam sold it out, as you know, right, to the enemy. And Jesus had to come as a man to take it back, because only a man, a human, had legal right, because God had given the earth to humans. You can look it up in Psalm 115, verse 16. And he gave the earth to humans. Okay? So Jesus had to come as a human to take it back. Why couldn't God just wave his hand and say, poof, it's mine again? Nope, because he had said, and once God says something, it's a spiritual law. He cannot break his word. He can't lie. Can't. Isn't that interesting? The Bible says he can't, physically cannot lie. Isn't that amazing? And so he had to follow his own rules, right, and come as a man to win back the earth. He had to take it back. And so Jesus lived his whole life perfect and sinless. And it wasn't just to forgive us of our sins. I'm so thankful for this. But it was to take back the authority in the earth so that he could once again give it to us. Now, why he would want to give it to us remains an eternal mystery, but one that will be revealed. But he is looking for people who will be what the Bible calls stewards, what we would call a manager. And you say, well, what am I to manage? The earth, not other humans. We don't control other humans, but we do control things in the earth. We are to speak. How do we manage? We speak. We issue an edict. We speak by the Spirit, right? Well, that's why it's so important to prophesy only what God is saying, not what your soul is saying, not what your emotions are saying, not even what your doctrine is saying. I've heard people give absolutely terrible prophecies out of their flesh because they were persuaded of certain doctrine, and it was just as wrong as it could be, right? And did no good, right? In fact, that works a negative effect, because they're still in authority, aren't they? So a stinky prophecy, a fleshy prophecy, can do damage. Now let me ask you this question. If God could just do his will in the earth all the time, why would Jesus tell us to pray and speak, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Because he needed someone to be speaking that. Otherwise, his hands, he had tied his own hands, saying, I gave the earth to you. What are you going to do with it, church? What are you going to do with it? See, the enemy's, and here's the problem. The enemy has persuaded the church that their words don't matter. How they speak, how they pray, what the condition of their heart. And so Satan persuades us to say his stuff, right? If Satan can get you on his side and discourage you, you'll begin to speak discouragement. You'll begin to speak failure, right? Well, I'm going to say no, you won't. You'll begin to speak what is right. Say no, counter it with the word of God. Counter it, come against it. Say no, I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that. See, God is raising up. He's trying to raise up a church that understands the power that they have. For so many years, you might have heard me share this, but I really feel like God wants me to share it again. we are like Samson, the church. Samson had his hair cut and was taken captive. And when his hair was cut, he was powerless, and they knew it. And so they captured him. They had him tied with ropes. They did terrible stuff to him. And they all came to watch. But what they didn't realize was that Samson's hair had begun to grow back. And Samson knew it. And he entreated the Lord. Now, this is a type of the church. I really believe it is. The Bible says that the things in the old covenant were written to those of us upon whom the end of the age has come. Think about it. Samson was written for us. That story was written for us. And the church's hair has begun to grow back. See, for thousands of years, we didn't operate in the power that we were meant to. And it became like a rare thing, a foreign thing, like, oh, maybe just a few people. Maybe, you know, maybe Edgar, he's got that gift of working in miracles, but oh, not me. See, that's, I used to think that way years when I was in my 20s. I thought that way. That was totally a lie from the pit. And that's what Satan wanted the church to think. He wanted us to say, oh, it all passed away. All the power passed away with the apostles. But what's been happening for the last at least 100 years, God's been sowing seeds into the church of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord that will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. How? Because the church's hair is growing back. Samson entreated the Lord. He said, give me enough strength to take him out. You know, that at the end, he did more than he ever did in the whole of his life. He was able, by the grace and the power of God, listen to me, the church is coming back into it. So there has to be a quick education in the spirit. Okay. And so that's why God has me speaking these things. We have to come up to speed in our spiritual education and realize that what we say matters. How we say it matters. Do you know that there's a trick right now where the enemy is trying to get people so aligned with a cause emotionally? We're actually seeing, and I don't want to see this. I don't want to see this. Rifts in the body. And people arguing over their cause about what's going on in the earth. We think it should be this way, and we think it should be that way. Do you understand that that can be a trick to get you off point on what we're supposed to be doing in the kingdom? Okay, and I'm not saying you can't have a cause, but if that cause takes over your soul to where that's what you're thinking about, and when that's what you're worrying about, and that's what you're preaching, come on, I'm talking to somebody, I love you, but God's saying, don't miss this bus because you're so on a cause. Okay? I've got causes too. I vote. All right? And I have causes too. But what God has shown me is we have a higher kingdom to fight for. We're to bring his kingdom and manifest it in this earth. And in this last day, we won't be able to leave it to the few because the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is supposed to cover the earth. That means all hands on deck. All hands on deck. From the least to the greatest. We're going to get a revelation, I'm telling you. We need to get a revelation that the power of God lives in me. There's going to be a revelation, not just head knowledge. A lot of you know it. You can quote the scripture. You can quote it right out of John. You can tell me, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also. You know it. You got the knowledge, and everybody can say amen. But I'm going to tell you something. There's going to come a revealing, a revelation, a heart knowledge where we're going to go, oh my gosh, that means me. And it becomes, listen, faith, when we talk about tipping point, the tipping point of faith is when you entertain faith, you talk about faith, you say it, you speak it, you believe it, and you believe it here, then you believe it in your heart, but then a tipping point is where it goes from something that feels like this. It goes from, I really believe it, to, I know. It is fact. And it's like everything in you knows that it's a done deal and nobody can talk you out of it. And when that happens, that's faith. And when that faith happens, I'm telling you, miracles happen. Miracles happen. And it can happen in a second. When you have even a second of that. I'm telling you, I've seen miracles when even a second of that happens. And we're supposed to get to a place where all this head knowledge, okay, becomes heart revelation. And that, you know, it doesn't just say, listen to this, it doesn't just say the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. It says the knowledge of it. It's going to be known all over creation. Miracles need to become so common in every corner. You know, something interesting, I'm fascinated. When I meet African saints, you know, there's a very, just an amazing African saint that walks in great power, has raised people from the dead, learned many languages, earthly languages, by the Spirit of God alone. I think he speaks 7 languages and he got them all from the Holy Ghost. From the Holy Ghost. How about those apples? Well, one interesting thing that many of the African saints say is that they grow up seeing the supernatural in the form of witchcraft. Americans have not seen it in the same way the Africans have. So there's whole parts of the body of Christ that don't even believe there is a supernatural world. There's whole parts of the body of Christ that don't understand the power of the spirit realm. They don't understand that there's angels and demons. They don't know that that's real, or it's like some dim idea, you know, some, you know, dim, vague thing. There's such a lack of understanding of the Holy Ghost as a person. We call him it, and he's just this sort of ethereal being we don't know much about. But he needs to become your reality. The Holy Spirit, once, you know, I was a Christian many years and actually heard the voice of God very well for a long time, but I didn't realize it was him. I knew it was God, but I didn't really realize who the Holy Spirit was. And when I got that revelation, I fell in love with the Holy Spirit. I just want to say a couple things about him. He always brings glory to Jesus. He doesn't, you know, they are one. He is the Spirit of God. They're the same. They're one, but he's spirit form. And he came to lead us and guide us into all truth. And so the level of time, the amount of time you spend fellowshipping with him is proportional. Do you know what directly, remember math, directly proportional? If A is directly proportional to B, then if B grows, then A will proportionally grow at the same amount. Okay, it's proportional, right? Well, your revelation knowledge of the power that lives in you, right? You know the scriptures, the kingdom of heaven is in you. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you. Think about it. Think about that there is the power of many atom bombs living on the inside of you. You may even know that with your head, but that has to become heart knowledge, revelation, tipping point faith. Well, there's one place to get that. And as you hang out with the Holy Ghost, who, by the way, if you don't know it, he's the best friend you have. He's my closest friend and companion. I don't go anywhere without the Holy Ghost. And in fact, I can't, because he won't leave or forsake me, and you either. But I have an awareness. This is what I want to say. He's with you whether you know him or not. He's with you always. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. You're not alone in this. See, I don't know how to feel lonely because I don't have any sense ever of being alone. Because as I got to know him, an awareness developed that he's with me all the time. He always wants to teach you. Not just me, you. He wants to teach you. He wants to open his world. He wants to open the realms of God to you. He wants to open your eyes that you can see in ways you never saw. He wants to teach you the ways of the Spirit. He speaks differently than we speak. We're all very well versed in our language, but think how long it took you to learn it. When you were a toddler, you started with goo-goo and papa, mama, maybe. You might have had a few first words, and as your parents kept talking to you and talking to you, you learned how to speak your language. But why is it we think we should just know heaven because we got saved? Listen, we don't know squat about heaven. We need to learn, and the Holy Spirit, he is our pillar of fire. He is our pillar of cloud, and those that are led by the Spirit of God shall be called the sons of God. And what does it say? The whole creation groans, yearning for the manifestation of the sons of God. What does manifestation mean? It means that to take that which is invisible, but is present, it is alive, but it's not visible, and to bring it into a tangible presence. In other words, the manifestations of the Son of God is to take the kingdom of heaven that is on the inside of you, the power of God that has lived in you, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead that has been hiding in you, and it is to manifest it to where it can be publicly seen, tangibly touched, heard, felt, the presence of God. Listen, you carry the presence, whether you know it or not. The problem with us is we've lived so much in the realm of the flesh, our intellect, we calculate and figure it out and reason it through. Listen, that's, you know, I hate to say it, but that can be the kiss of death forever moving in the spirit. Because if you think you know something, he can't really speak into your life on that matter. It pays not to have an opinion with God. It pays to realize, listen, one of the first revelations I ever got was that I need his opinion, and mine isn't gonna match his. No matter what I think I know, no matter what I think I've learned, I need his opinion. I need his truth. I need his correction all the time about everything. And as you begin to seek him for what he says, what is his opinion? What is his opinion? If you're into politics, what is his opinion politically? You know what we do? And we do this with doctrine too. We do with everything. We listen to a fine-sounding argument, right? And then we listen to someone else with a fine-sounding argument. And if they conflict, well, I don't know what to think. Do you know that that's how I got tongues? I had friends that said, that is absolutely not of God. That, don't do that. That's of the devil. That is a bad idea. That's bad stuff. And then I had other friends that said, oh man, this is so powerful. This is the greatest gift God ever gave me. I just love praying in tongues. Do you know what most people will do? They'll side with the people they trust the most or like the best. You know what I did? I was like a little kid. I went to God and said, hey, Papa, I got friends that say this and I got friends that say that. What do you think about this? How do you feel about tongues? What's your opinion? And in less than, this is before I heard his voice internally, right? Because I wasn't yet filled with the Spirit. I was very young in the Lord, but I loved him and I had my face in the Word. I mean, I had my face in the Word. And less than 24 hours, I ran across the scripture that talked about the promise of the Father. Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit was the promise of the Father. And then right after that, I saw where Peter said, this promise is to you, your children, and all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God will call. Well, that means it didn't die with the apostles. That's what that means. Your children, that means your generations, all who are afar off, any nation, any country, any generation. Isn't that amazing? So within 24 hours, I ask a question with an earnest heart, an honest heart, and less than 24 hours, God shows me the Holy Spirit is for you. And when the promise came, they received tongues of fire and they spoke in other tongues. And people didn't understand it, but it gave them power. It turned Peter from being fearful and denying Christ out of fear. He was afraid to even admit he knew the man. I don't even know the man, he said. You know, love Peter, but that's what happened. He gets filled with the Holy Ghost, and it says they burst out onto the street, and Peter is preaching with so much power and fire by the power of the Holy Spirit that he wins thousands to Christ first day out of the box being filled with the Holy Ghost. So this person of the Holy Spirit is the best friend you have. Now, what I want to say is build an awareness of his presence all the time. Build an awareness that he's always with you. He's always ready to teach. He's always ready. You know, I go to him with everything. I ask the dumbest questions you've ever heard. I'm like a small child. And if I don't get it, if he tries to explain it to me and I don't get it, I go again. And I say, well, what does that mean? Help me understand. Or you said this, but I see that. I ask like a little child. And I keep asking and I keep asking until he tells me. You know, I'm just like, I won't go away because I want to know. And listen, he wants, some of you have a false belief system. I just picked this up in the spirit. Some of you believe, you actually believe that God doesn't want to talk to you. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God will talk to you 24/7 if you will learn how to hear him. You don't hear him with these ears. You don't hear him in your mind. You hear him internally. You get filled with the spirit. So here's the spirit. He's on the inside, and he speaks in a still, small voice. It may come as a picture, like when I get a word of knowledge, most of the time, it's a picture or part of a phrase, okay? But everybody's different. Everybody sees and hears differently, but you develop a relationship. Because listen, if If they ever separate you, if somehow you're separated from everybody, they can't take that Holy Ghost from you. They're, no matter what they do, they can't beat them out of you. They can throw you in jail. They can't take that Holy Ghost. Ever, never. You'll never be alone again. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll never be alone again. He'll always help you. I've said this before, but the Holy Spirit, he's the spirit of worship. You know, I couldn't play the piano. I couldn't sing, and I certainly couldn't do both at the same time. And the Lord told me he wanted me to do it, and I thought, you've got to be kidding. And I had fear. Are you crazy? No, no, no. I fought that. I called everybody that could play any kind of instrument, and I literally have never begged, I don't think, for any of my life. I begged, please, 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 just once, please come and play. No, no, no. They all said no. And I knew what God was doing. He wanted me to do it, and I knew I didn't have the ability. But you understand that God doesn't call you to do what you have the ability to do. He calls you to do what he has the ability to do through you. And when you get, listen, when you get good at allowing God to do through you, you can do anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Even Jesus, what did he say to his disciples before he went home? He said, the works that I do, the Father in me, it's the Father in me that does the works. Now think about it. He had already said, our Father which art in heaven. If our Father art in heaven, how is the Father in him doing the works? By the Holy Spirit that came upon him and in him at the River Jordan. And he was showing us how to do it. The Father in you does the works. When healing power goes through your voice or your eyes or your hand, it's the Father in you, right? There have been times when God has given me a word and he gives it to me by that still small voice. I speak it and there will be a miracle. Was it me? Nope. Was it my faith? Nope. But the Father in me did the works. So I could never take credit except that I was his vessel. And here's the great news. This is the grace of God. That every believer from the greatest to the least, it doesn't matter where you are in the body of Christ. It doesn't matter what kind of life you've had. I heard this wonderful thing the other day. They said if you were to take, you know, an hourglass that has sand going through it. Well, the sand that's already gone through it, that's past. That's a past. And they said if the sand on the top were to focus on the sand on the bottom, it would never accomplish. It would be like it's all in the past. In other words, don't focus on your past. However much sand you have left, whether it's 2 years, 20 years, or 50 years, that's new. Forget what is behind. Press on to what lies ahead, because every one of us is called to do something precious in God. It may be public, it may be hidden. And I'm of the opinion that the hidden works are actually greater and more honored in heaven. Those that hide in their room and spend time in prayer are highly honored by God. So it doesn't have to be a public thing. There are some of you being raised up to teach children. It's one of the greatest callings on the face of the earth today. And I'm not just saying that. God has shown me that those who will minister to kids, those that will teach the children and raise them up in God, that is one of the most important callings on the face of the earth. Because those kids are super important to this plan of God. Super important to what will happen in these next couple of years. It's really important. Raising your kids, it's a big deal. Don't think, oh, I'm just a mom, I'm just a dad. No, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to God. Children are a big, big, big deal to God. It's really important. I can't say it enough. So if you're called to kids, don't think of that as some lesser calling. Even if people don't get it, you know, they go, here, I'm just going to put my kids on you in the nursery when I go to the church. No, no, no. The nursery and the Sunday school, that's where the real action is happening, because you're creating who that person is going to get to be. You know, you're helping them to know God. It's a big, big deal, because some parents won't know how to do that. Amen. So God is raising you up, and this is a crucial time and a precious time in God where we are being formed. Our soil, like we talked about earlier, our soil is being worked, it's being mineralized, it's being enriched. And I just have to give this word again. I don't know if somebody joined late. I gave a word earlier. God is not releasing me from it. When he gave me this word, I didn't want to share it because I actually saw a casket and I didn't want anyone to think, oh, you know, I'm going to die. No, it's not a physical death. But what I saw, it was like an old wooden one. Like they don't even do those anymore. It was like the old West, like they had in the old Westerns, an old wooden thing. And I said, Lord, what are you saying to me? And he said, someone is going through a death process where the things they thought would happen in their life, they're suffering disappointment, they're watching some things come to a close, and it's not what they thought it would be. And they're feeling disappointment, and they're even feeling like maybe they failed. But he reminded me of Jesus. This is a little bit repetitive, but I feel like I'm supposed to say it. Jesus said, unless a seed fall on the ground and die, it abides alone. Jesus himself went through the death process in order to raise a race of people, right, from every kindred and tongue and tribe and nation that were children to the Lord. He had to die that we might live. Well, there are some dreams and hopes. Don't worry about it. There are some things that God is actually going to tell you, let it go. Let it die, because I'm doing something in the soil of your life. And someone I'm talking to, the soil of your life has been being prepared for years. Actually feels like decades. God has been preparing you and preparing you and preparing you. And you've kind of thought, I'm getting kind of old here. You know, looks like things are winding up. Am I ever going to get to do what I'm supposed to do? And the answer is capital letters, yes, absolutely. But it may not look like how you and I envision it. Because sometimes we get an idea about the thing we think God will do, and he ends up doing it in a little bit different way than we thought. But of course, much better than we thought or knew. Amen. So hallelujah. I love, love, love you guys. And, you know, I've been having this thing for the past few months that when I say that, it's actually not me, I actually feel the love of God for his kids. I can actually feel how much he loves you, how precious you are to him, and how much it matters to him. He loves you. And if you've been feeling like, oh, I don't know if God's here for me, then you need to renew your mind to the truth, because God loves you. You are precious to him, and he wants to help you in every little thing. He cares about your every little thing, okay?
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.